troubled minds.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. It's good to have you with us this Friday morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. Pessimism rules again today. The Dow is down 244 points, the Nasdaq down 33 points, or 2%. The S&P 500 is off 3% this morning. This is an improvement over the morning's earlier lows. Asian markets were absolutely clobbered today, 8 to 10% losses. Major European markets are between 3.5% and 5.5% on the downside. Diane Swonk is chief economist at Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, stock traders are obviously bearish. How pessimistic are you?
Well, there's no question we're in a recession, and the recession is going to get worse before it gets better. We'll probably cross 8% unemployment rates before this is all over, which is a full 2% above where we are today. That said, much of what we're seeing around the world is panic-driven more than reality-driven. I can't time when it's going to turn around. What's really one of the more positive things out there is the dollar is appreciating quite sharply, because as many problems as we have, the rest of the world is still betting on us to be the survivors.
OPEC cut production today, yet oil is still trading in the low 60s. Those lower prices, that's some rare money in consumers' pockets. How much can that help the U.S. economy?
It is probably the single largest offset to the pain we have today, because it is like a direct tax cut overnight to consumers going to the pump every single day and filling up. It cannot reverse the losses that we're going to see in retail before the holiday season is over, but it can keep food on the table for many consumers who are living paycheck to paycheck. I kind of like it that the oil prices fell, even though OPEC had the audacity to try to cut production in the middle of this financial crisis.
What should investors do?
This is a very difficult time for investors. You know, this is not for those with the weak of stomach, but if you sell now, you lock into your losses. If you do not need this money now, do not lock into losses. We know the market is cheap. We don't know how low it will go, but we do know it will turn around. Remember, the rest of the world is betting on us, and they don't have any other place to go unless they can figure out a way to invest in Mars. So over the longer term, the rest of the world believes we are the winners, and I think that's the way to keep your focus going forward.
Diane Swonk is chief economist of Mesirow Financial in Chicago. Diane, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so she's bullish on America long term. Where does that leave the rest of the world? Well, Asian and European leaders met today in Beijing to talk strategy, and we get that story from Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai.
Asian leaders today agreed to create an $80 billion bailout fund. Think of it as a neighborhood fire truck, ready to hose down any burning house on the street. Right now, global investors are fleeing emerging markets, which has ignited weakness in many currencies. European leaders in Beijing are taking notes because Hungary, Belarus, and Ukraine face the worst crises. Here's economist Glenn McGuire of Société Générale.
When we look at Eastern Europe, it does look very similar to Asia in 96-97.
The summit will also focus on rebuilding the world financial system. There are two competing world views, one backed by the U.S., the other by the Europeans.
If Asia was going to back anybody, then they'll be backing the European, more activist role for government model.
Asian votes matter because most of the world's foreign reserves live on this side of the world. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping nearly 3 million members and their communities thrive. More at thrivent.com. By the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world. Online at shrm.org. And by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win.
There have been many ideas floating around about how to fix this financial crisis. Whether they're successful or not is up for debate. Today we launch an occasional series called What's the Fix? Commentator Susan Lee is focused on what the government should not have done.
We're about 6 months into the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. The question on everybody's mind, how do we get out of this? Well, I've got some bad news. There is no way out. Not after Washington showed it can panic with the best of them. Consider what's happened. The government has motored out a $700 billion plus bailout. That's a lot of bucks, considering nobody even argued the bailout would work. In fact, the only impact on which everybody agrees is that the bailout will push the budget deficit up to almost $1 trillion and require higher and higher taxes. The government has also nationalized almost half the banking system. And so far, the only result is the banks want still more money. And don't forget Fannie and Freddie. By taking over these two mortgage giants, the government has pretty much taken over the home mortgage market. Yet, mortgage rates have climbed while house prices continue to drop. Okay, maybe that's unfair. These things take a while to work. But this display of utter panic has resulted in massive uncertainty. And there's nothing the markets hate more and fear more than uncertainty. No wonder investors have become so risk-averse, they've taken trillions of dollars out of the stock market. 6 months ago, the country was headed into a recession. The drop in home values made that inevitable. The best course of action would have been to take our very large lumps. Most likely, that would have meant a short, maybe steep recession. And yes, lots of firms in the financial sector would have gone bust, and investors would have lost money. But now, by aggravating the financial crisis and scaring the pants off investors, the federal government has almost ensured a very bad, very long recession. It's not often one gets to quote Napoleon, but here goes. In politics, stupidity is not a handicap.
Economist Susan Lee writes a weekly column for Forbes.com. Another sickly bank swallowed up. Regional Bank PNC is buying the struggling Cleveland Bank National City. Not really a takeover, since PNC offered less than National City's share price, more of a take under. I hope you'll keep listening as we track the fallout from this financial mess. The Dow stands at 8,438, down 252 points. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.